Welcome to the PodTech.net Info Talk series here at BlogOn Conference with Kathy Brooks from Porta Novelli.
Greetings and salutations.
Welcome to the podcast. You're just up moderating a panel. On pitching social media was the topic.
Yes.
What'd you think? I mean, people generally, a lot of questions from the audience about pitching social media, really more of a how does institutional PR and folks really talk to and understand how to distribute messaging to the blogosphere, right? Is that the general notion?
Right. Well, it's interesting. I mean, you use the word institutional, and, you know, when people are institutionalized, you generally think of mental institutions or being incarcerated. And it's like I always laugh at the, when people talk about the institution of marriage, it's the same thing.
Straitjacket. You know,
straitjacket, which, you know, depending on the marriage, could be the case. I think the biggest challenge that the public relations community faces right now is changing behavior. The blogosphere, frankly, is not all that different from the traditional media, she says with air quotes, that the PR community has been working with from time immemorial. The difference is the level of interactivity, as well as the speed with which the information is disseminated and then grows like wildfire. And the PR community is notoriously slow, especially if you're looking at kind of larger clients, larger corporate clients. They don't necessarily move as quickly, so they're having to learn to be more agile and be more transparent. I think that's really the honesty and transparency seem to be the words of the day.
Well, I mean, everyone has been talking about it, and it's been talked about in the blogs about, you know, having a conversation. I mean, I hear that all the time, being transparent, but let's, and that's known, and so let's go up another level. Let's look at it from a different perspective. I mean, really, isn't it about the intersection of print and broadcast? I mean, you have multiple formats of media. It's not about, you know, broadcast media and print journalism, all different silos. I mean, bloggers are, in essence, reporters, however you want to look at it. But yet they, you know, the blog is the virtual print. Podcast
is the virtual broadcast.
Is the virtual broadcast. Sure. Now video blogging. True convergence. Now, people aren't used to thinking of it that way. And we know some clients who see that convergence. What's your view on that, and how do you see that happening?
Well, to be perfectly candid, the PR community, you know, if you look at any industry with a broad brush stroke, stereotypes exist for a reason. And one of the reasons the PR community has such a bad rap is that you have a large number of individuals and organizations who just don't get it, meaning they don't read a newspaper column before they pitch it. They don't watch a TV show before they pitch it, and the blogosphere is no different. If you're going to pitch a blogger, read their blog. If you're going to pitch a podcast, listen to the podcast first. And, you know, you bring up a valid point. Blogging is to print media what podcasting is to broadcast with video. Then you'll have, you know, kind of television. I use broadcast in kind of the wide sweeping terms of anything with an audio and or video feed to it, rather than just static words on page or on screen. It's just another form. And I mean, I don't mean just another
people
form to
want,
belittle
people don't
it,
want to hear that. People don't like to hear it. It's just another tool. Really, it's integrated. And the Yahoo announcement last week when I had
absolutely
the podcast out.
Your scoop, actually, nicely done.
My exclusive podcast.
Done.
But really, that was tied into a controlled release with Yahoo. And it really was an integrated into the blog and social media. It
really
worked
but
for
what
them.
But what they did was they gave you an exclusive lead on the story, which is no different than if I've got a story, let's take it back 5 years or take it back 10 years, and I have a very big story that I'm going to announce, and I go to the Wall Street Journal and I say, look, I'm going to give you the exclusive. So you will get the story before anyone else does, and they get the story and they run it in the Monday morning, and then the other papers and radio and TV and magazines and trades then fall after that. They gave you the exclusive. Now, what you did as an ethical broadcaster, which is essentially a podcaster, which is what you are, was you honored that embargo. They said, don't air this before this time on this day. And you said, okay.
No problem.
This is what I'm going to do. And this is really, there is an ethics, a media ethics, just like there's an ethics to any line of business.
Yeah.
It's do what you say you're going to do. Be honorable to your word. Do your background research.
I posted 1 minute after the embargo, though. I mean, definitely was waiting.
Well, 1 minute.
Fun.
No, but 1 minute after. They said don't post it before this time, so you didn't. Had you posted it a minute before, you would have been breaking your confidence with that.
Exactly.
And it's, there is.
But that, let's talk about that for a second. That whole release was about a lot of many things, maybe saving time for Yahoo. But more importantly, the bloggers really enjoyed it. Podcasting is like the brother-sister relationship with blogging.
Absolutely.
Because of RSS and how it's syndicated. The bloggers, for the first time, felt that someone actually was communicating to them as news and or reporters. And the linkage really took off right out of the box. They felt great. Someone's working with us.
Right.
So Yahoo had a huge coup on that on their end because the community acknowledged that and said, great job, Yahoo. Unlike companies like VeriSign, who had the big debacle with weblogs.com, Dave Weiner's thing, it blew up in their face.
Right.
The blogosphere launched on VeriSign. Yahoo launched with the blogosphere.
Right.
That's a big distinction.
It's a very big distinction, but again, it speaks back to the very basic premise of ethics in business and proper business practices. You say you are going to do something, you honor your promise to someone. I mean, bloggers, there's a continuing discussion, are bloggers journalists? Are bloggers journalists? Well, bloggers are bloggers, and yes, they're journalists. The form that they use is a blog, just like if I work for a newspaper, my medium is that newspaper, although increasingly a newspaper probably has a blog as well. There is an ethics to that. There is a way of doing business, and if you act like a grown-up, people will treat you like one. If you act like an ethical, honorable, reputable source of information, and you prove yourself credibility, then people will treat you in kind.
Well, that's a valid point, but I think, and that's kind of known. But let's talk about more of what you mentioned just now, which was really rules of engagement. Most folks don't know how to engage or what the rules of engagement are in marketing communications in social media. For example, the VeriSign example. It launched on them. The blogosphere is out there. People are producing stuff, whether opinions, reports, whatever. They're producing stuff. So in a way, it can't be ignored. VeriSign tried to ignore it. Boom, blew up in their face.
Sure.
Yahoo embraced it, and it ran for them. It worked for them. Just like they got the front page of the journal. They got the mainstream media through the release.
Sure.
The podcast engaged them. But that's really what it's all about. So when you talk about social media and PR, it's the recognition. It's the first thing is recognition for that.
Sure.
Don't you agree?
Well, I acknowledge that an individual has an audience, and whether it's an audience of two, an audience of 200, 2,000, or 2 million, they have an audience. And now if you have a piece of information, it may be more valuable for you in certain outlets than another. If you are talking to a blogger who has an audience of 50, but it's exactly the 50 people who you need to be talking to, that is someone who you should be treating as if they're a front page writer for the Wall Street Journal. Now, I'm not suggesting that someone whose blog perhaps has less importance for you from a business perspective should be treated, with any less respect. But in the world of PR, there are tiers, if you will, of media. If I have a message to get out to my constituents, if I'm a company with a product launch or a service that I'm trying to get out to the community, there are various outlets that are more valuable to me than others.
And this process and this rules of engagement, for example, a PR group or department, depending on the size of the company, doesn't have time to focus on the Charlotte Observer. If they're going to make a choice, it's going to be the New York Times, if that's the goal, right?
So unless the audience that they're trying to attract is in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. But in the case of national launch or global launch, the internet's global, so people are launching products globally, and you have clients that I've podcasted with and have great products that are global.
Right.
So in a way, what we're talking about here is social media is a global social grid, and so pitching it, is it pitching it or creating a way to automate in messaging?
Well, during the panel, somebody actually brought up a valid point that the word pitch is perhaps a bit difficult of a word because it indicates a sale. Now, if you go by one thought process, we all have something to sell, per se, but let's face it, when you're being sold something. There's the used car salesman sale, which leaves everybody feeling kind of, scrungy and gross afterwards. And then there are the people who, when they're selling you, again, she says with air quotation marks, but you don't know you've been sold, because essentially what they're saying is, look, here is something that I have that has these following aspects of value. You, reader or blogger or listener, you have these needs and interests. I think that what I have has value to you, so I'm going to express that to you. You'll read it, you'll listen, you'll find value, you won't find value. But the beauty I think, of what's happening with the blogosphere and with podcasting is that you now have even more choice, and you can find a channel or a station or a show that speaks exactly to your tiny little niche of information. You can also find organizations that are of huge value and widespread value. There are things like podtech.net that give you a very
great podcasting opportunity for marketers.
Great podcasting opportunity for marketers. Whether you're in the tech industry, depending on if you're talking to Silicon Valley and you're trying to talk to any influencer in Silicon Valley, this is a perfect place for somebody to come because you have a strong audience of the influencers. Now, there are there other podcasts that address this audience?
Cameron O'Reilly's got a great podcast.
He has one. Leo Laporte has another one. This Week in Tech, there are a number of them. Each, is there overlap in the audiences? Sure.
Yeah.
But just like ABC, CBS, and NBC, you had a favorite because there was an anchor who you liked, or there's a reporter who you liked, or there was a news style that you liked. These things will happen in the blogosphere and the world of podcasting as well. And I think the exciting thing for us is that we're at the beginning of a real rocket ride. You know, this isn't a plane taking off. This is
a rocket,
and the engines are all firing, and hopefully it wasn't made by NASA.
Those O-rings better be
O-rings and the foam.
Good.
It's the foam. It's the falling foam I'm worried about these days.
Well, I tell you, great stuff. It's a rocket ship. Social media, great panel.
And you'll hear about it here on podtech.net is what I'm guessing.
Podtech.net here. Fresh voice, Kathy Brooks. Great stuff. Thanks so much for the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you.